Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Back on Afternoon Drive, it's a Football Friday, an F-Off Friday. It's a Shedeur Sanders is the backup quarterback, and we're getting ready for Brown Steelers. Dylan Gabriel start 2.0. Can we get a little bit better than we saw last Sunday? Can we maybe get a Browns win? It's funny, I have seen a few Browns fans like mad that anyone considers that the Browns could win this game. And it's like, well, I think you're... It's like two sides. They are coming off the bye and you're coming off the London game. That's not good for your side of math. But then from their side, Tomlin always plays games close, and I do think your defense should be able to make this one a close game as well.
I've listened into a lot of, I like the guys in the afternoon at 93.7 anyway, but like I listened in a lot this week, and they're already past this game in many respects. Like it just kind of feels that way to me. I don't know. It feels like Steelers fans as a whole have already kind of, there's just not much respect right now for the Browns.
I think that makes sense.
That's fine. I'm not mad at them for it. The Browns haven't really given us anything to really be like, you need to respect us.
That's what makes it even more funny if the Browns were to win on Sunday. But we'll get back to the Shedeur stuff. Is it a quarterback controversy? Also, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, yet another round between these two future Hall of Famers to talk all things about this game. We head out to the fan hotline. Welcome on Brian Batko, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. I was with my Cleveland sister-in-law last week because the Steelers were off, and she's like, are you going to be on in Cleveland next week for Brown Steelers? I said, I hope so.
Now, do you call her your Cleveland sister-in-law to her face, or is that just the parlance we're using here?
No, I mean, I call her Taylor to her face,
but
she knows that that's kind of her role in the family for sure.
Okay. That's good. I mean, it's gotta be a tough role. So we were just talking about this. We've had a few fans, Browns fans tweeted us like angry that we've cited the 5.5 point, line from Vegas. And I get it. The Browns have not been very good this year. How do you kind of view this game from the Steelers side of things?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I heard you guys just kind of before I came on, and me personally, I don't think it's enough points. I think the Steelers are going to win this one pretty convincingly, but there's a lot of Steelers fans we hear from at the Post-Gazette who aren't looking past the Browns, and what they would call this in Pittsburgh is a potential classic Tomlin game where he loses a game that he shouldn't lose. Now, I think sometimes the statistics would tell you that doesn't happen as much as fans think it does, but there have been some clunkers over the years, even against Cleveland. Dorian Thompson-Robinson sticks fresh in my mind from a few years back, but generally in Pittsburgh, other than that playoff game, they've handled business, but I still think there's some fear and trepidation from people who aren't totally convinced by the Steelers' 3-1 start.
Yeah, as you've mentioned, it makes me sick to point out, but yeah, Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh outside of the playoff game since 2003. I mean, it's been 22 years. It's a really long time, and a lot of bad quarterbacks in between. But why do you feel like the line should be greater in favor of Pittsburgh for this week?
Well, first of all, kind of the external factors that are out of both teams' control. The Browns have to come back from London. The Steelers just had a week to rest and recuperate. The Browns have to come on the road after that. They are seemingly holding a fire sale out there in Berea. Andrew Berry's working the phones and shipping off key players to anyone who will take them for, you know, maybe a 30 picks better in a draft. So I wonder what that does to the psyche of a team. And then you get into the actual X's and O's and schematics. The Steelers are really good up front when it comes to getting their hands on football. They've already had some interceptions this year on guys like Sam Darnold and Drake May because they tip passes up in the air, and they're coming down with them. Now they face Dillon Gabriel, who's, what, a shade over 5'11", in his first true road game in the NFL. I think it's going to be a rough one for him Sunday. I really do. And I'm not always a homer. Sometimes, you know, I don't see it going the Steelers' way. But, man, I feel like they have the edge in a lot of areas in this week.
Brian, I do want to get to the game itself. I know there's the Myles Garrett, TJ Watt stuff to get to. But a week ago, we go to Dillon Gabriel. Looks okay. And then, of course, they trade Joe Flacco earlier this week. There'd been a debate. Will Bailey Zappi be the backup? Will Shador slide up from the QB3 spot? Shador was announced as the backup quarterback earlier today. I'm just curious your view on the quarterback situation in Cleveland and where it currently sits with Dillon Gabriel and Shador.
It's like the tabloid story of the NFL right now, right? I mean, it's kind of like a train wreck that people can't look away from. I think it's fascinating. I'm kind of glad that I'm not covering the hysterics of it day in and day out, week in and week out, because I joke, but it really does like sort of have a mushroom effect far beyond Northeast Ohio right now with how much intrigue there is nationally with Shador. So I actually asked Steelers defensive coordinator Terrell Austin yesterday. I can't, in 7 years covering this team, I can't ever recall a question like this, but I said, I'm curious, how much time in a given week do you spend studying the opponent's backup quarterback? And I only bring it up because they're sort of keeping it under wraps over there after trading Joe Flacco. And he said, look, like we're trying to get a beat on Gabriel since he only has one game in the NFL regular season. If it comes to that, Bailey Zappi will fall back on playing him before when he was with New England. He did not mention Shador at all. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of bizarre, I guess, but at least it's been clarified now by Kevin Stefanski. And part of me, I'm not going to lie, I'm excited that Shador Sanders is one snap away, one pick, one injury, one whatever away from taking the field in Pittsburgh.
Brian, here locally, a lot of people looked at Jackson Dart last night and they thought, man, we could have had one. You know, whether that's fair or unfair is a different story. But did Steelers fans, did they look at it that way, too? Or is it just because Aaron Rodgers, and I think Aaron Rodgers is probably there for the year, but because you're in the driver's seat for the AFC North right now, is that not the sentiment?
No, there is a lot of that. I feel like, you know, even last week before he started kind of, you know, wetting the bed against the Saints, people were beating their chest if they were on the Jackson Dart hype train bandwagon during the draft. A lot of people were very quick to point out, hey, I told you guys the Steelers should have taken him. Derek Harmon's going to be a nice player on the D-line, but Jackson Dart could be the guy, and that's only going to intensify after last night. So, yeah, these two teams, it is funny how I feel like they're moving in much different directions this season, but big picture, I feel like they're two of the odds-on favorites to be using their premium picks, or at least their first rounder on a quarterback come April when the draft is in Pittsburgh. So, there's been Jackson Dart non-buyer's remorse, and there's actually a lot of Steelers fans. I know this isn't going on in Cleveland, but it is here because they have a rookie running back, but a lot of Steelers fans wishing Cam Scataboo was wearing black and gold on Sundays.
All right, Brian, the way the Steelers are being talked about from the national level is pretty fascinating. They've got a -2 diff, which we know matters, but they're 3-1.
Negative point differentials. It's been brought up in every Steelers national convo.
We also have
the Cavs, and I love the diff.
What I will say is we also have debates about why the defense isn't the defense yet. How good is Aaron Rodgers really? So I'll just ask you big picture, how good really are the Steelers?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So I've actually been turning this over in my own brain, and I guess I'll sort of unveil this take on Cleveland radio before I even do it on our own shows or in Pittsburgh. Not that it's anything incendiary, but I feel like Mike Tomlin's superpower is also sort of his Achilles heel in a way with the overall philosophy for this team. They just want to grind out a win each week, and whether it's Arthur Smith and in the offensive game plan, or it's the defense coming up with timely opportunistic turnovers after allowing an 85-yard drive, but then they snuff it out at the goal line. As long as they win by a point, they're sort of like, hey, we're happy. We're not going to apologize for winning. Look at our streak of 500 or better seasons. Look how often we make the playoffs. And yet, is that holding them back from the mentality that's sort of like, hey, once you get into January football, let alone if you're fortunate enough to ever get back to February football, you kind of need to have a higher ceiling. You kind of need to have a higher upside in the ability to throw haymakers with some of the best teams in the NFL. And I still haven't seen that from them. I applaud them and commend them for finding ways to win. Their record in one-score games is far better than anyone has any right to be. So there's a certain secret sauce there. But every year now, we see them start to face the Chiefs, the Bills. Last year, it was the Ravens. And then they just get their teeth kicked in because I think those teams are so used to winning more fluidly, playing 60 minutes, being consistent, and they're sort of running on all cylinders when all the chips are down.
And Brian, it feels like what you're speaking to right there, and just for this season alone at least, is the idea that, you know, you bring Aaron Rodgers in, you expect him to throw the ball deep, and right now he's got the lowest average depth of target in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's only four games in, so it's a small sample size, and I do think that if any of these iterations of Steelers teams in recent memory are going to take that next step, are going to elevate, win a playoff game for the first time since 2017, I probably feel better about them hitting that ceiling with Rodgers at quarterback than, geez, I mean, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. So there could still be more meat on that bone, but yeah, I have to see it first to really believe it with these guys.
Brian, has the Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, I don't say feud, but rivalry maybe, has it lost some of its appeal?
You know, it's funny you ask that because we were talking amongst ourselves, the beat folks today down at the Steelers facility, like, because T.J. always talks on Fridays. Myles always talks on Fridays. I saw he got asked about it and said, I don't have any tiff with T.J. Now, that was the word the reporter used, which, you know, I feel like that was an easy one for Myles to spike down, but yeah, basically said he's never had any issues with TJ or his brothers, as he threw in there, which was kind of funny to me. But we were all sort of we're like, should we ask TJ about Myles yet again for the umpteenth time? And no one did, because TJ never says anything. He'll occasionally make a case for himself as far as when you get into late December and the defensive player of the year voting starts to pop up, but I feel like TJ never takes that bait, and maybe it'll be something that he'll open up on at some point down the line, but I'll just take it as both of these guys have the potential to wreck the game for the other team. And, you know, Myles has, I think, six sacks in the last three meetings with the Steelers. Now, the Browns haven't won all those, but he's been a problem, and if the Steelers don't have a good plan for him and don't execute it, he could send Aaron Rodgers into another darkness retreat, no ayahuasca needed.
All right, that leaves us with about 30 seconds to go. Who has the quarterback advantage, old man Aaron or Timu Tua, Dylan Gabriel?
I got to go old man Aaron. T.J. Watt said he has never faced a lefty quarterback in his life, so Dylan Gabriel's got that going for him. Got to flip things on T.J., but no, I still think it's advantage Aaron Rodgers. I didn't really love Gabriel coming out of the draft, at least not to play in this rough and tumble division. So I think that's going to be one of several reasons the Steelers win this one, and maybe even by two scores, which they rarely ever do.
I've yet to recall anyone who really liked Dylan Gabriel coming out of the draft other than Kevin Stefanski. Brian, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep, no problem.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.